And we're rolling.
Here we go. Okay, big week in the news. Merry Christmas, everybody. I think we're a week away.
Yeah, Monday, right?
Thank you for the Christmas Monday. Card, Craig.
You got it?
I didn't know people sent them anymore.
You didn't?
That's already, when you asked me my address, I'm like, Craig, what are you, what is this, some kind of FBI hit job? It's like, no, okay.
But isn't it fun to get a Christmas card?
Yeah, I went to go hanging in the wall. It's nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad you like it.
Alec, again, is missing two children.
Well, he was going to be here yesterday, but I fell asleep, so it's kind of on me.
He also said he didn't know if he'd be able to make it until 9 o'clock at night, 9:30.
That was yesterday?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, I would not have.
No, it wasn't going
to
happen.
This week, I worked way too many hours this week to be being up too late.
The news stories that we have to go off of don't really require a liberal in the room. I'd like to start on my boy.
But Alec, because I guess we're going to talk about sports at some point, right?
Yes.
Alec likes to talk to sports. Where's he at? He knows we're going to talk about it. Our last messages in the group chat was about the NFL. But, okay, what do you want to talk about to start off?
I'd like to go over the timeline of Hunter Biden was subpoenaed, indicted by California.
Okay. I'm cool with doing this. Why do you want to lead with it?
Because this is something that I have been tempering, that I've been predicting for a year. Finally, this is kind of my time to shine. This is my beat.
So because
I've been following this. Now I predicted it. It's happening. I'd like to go through with the audience that may be following.
Why should the listener stick around for this? What juicy detail is...
If you are a Republican... You should expect your Republican House Representative members to ask the certain questions I'm going to lay out. If you're a Democrat, you should question why you are giving your vote to Joe without asking any questions. I was a Democrat.
I actually don't think a lot of Democrats are going to just blindly give their vote to Biden.
That's why this.
But I think it's because this is finally getting out, which you rightly were. Talking about this whenever no one else was.
What Hunter has done is really, really bad.
Yeah.
In the depths to which it indicts higher members of public office, I don't know. What I'm trying to, I need Democrats to understand is that Hunter Biden isn't John Gotti. He isn't Jimmy Hoffa. He isn't the boss. You don't catch the boss. The way you catch the boss is you get one of his underlings. So if Joe Biden or Jim Biden or Valerie Biden, Frank, Jill, whoever in the crew is making all the money, you're not going to catch them ever actually doing anything illegal. That's not the expectation. The thing with Hunter is you have the underling. You have the second in charge who got caught breaking random crimes. We can feel bad for him being an addict or all of his different addictions. The point is just that at one point he became a marked man and his parents and the people above him had to do whatever whoever got the intel on Hunter says they have to do. And the question is Russia started invading in quotation marks Ukraine in 2014 after NATO overthrew a democratically elected Russian sympathizers in quote marks too. And then all of a sudden in 2016, Trump takes over and Putin doesn't do anything for 4 years. It wasn't until Biden took over that Putin actually started to get involved in, what do you know, taking Burisma back. Who was the engineer of Burisma that we have evidence of? Hunter. Were him or his dad the decision makers? No. They were the idiots that got caught. So now they have to go on trial so that we can explain to the American public, so who told you to do this? Because their way out of life in prison is snitching. Mm-hmm. And I think we're both anti-snitching.
Yeah.
But I'd like to hear Hunter snitch. I would really, if I give him immunity.
But it's he's just getting brought in on tax stuff, right? They're kind of doing it. It's the same charges that Trump's being charged with.
So let me go the sequence of events with you here.
It'll just be funny if the one actually gets conviction and one doesn't.
That's what's interesting is having Trump on dual, almost the exact same charges as Hunter.
Yeah.
It's really a...
Honestly, when you look back through it, right, knowing what I know from what you've taught me about the Hunter Biden situation, and then knowing about, like, how Hillary Clinton paid for the whole Russia collusion thing and how that was all fake and drummed up and everything, when you look at it as a whole, it seems like they knew this was coming and they knew that, like, what laws were being broken, and they tried to get out in front of it by making Trump look like he's the one doing it, because
to go through
every time you turn around, it's like they were the ones actually doing it.
To go through the timeline, if you labeled the Euromaidan Ukraine government overthrow, that ended up in Hunter being on charge of the land that we stole in Ukraine from Russia, he became on the board of directors. That could very easily be tied to Crossfire Hurricane, which was the P tapes. That was some guy in Great Britain overheard a guy at a bar in Australia that he knew of Trump paying prostitutes to pee on Obama's bed. If you followed me, I don't think that ever would have changed the votes. Even if that was true, that meant nothing. But that was a thing, and it was proved that it was paid for by...
Yeah, and by the way, when that was going on, you were on the side of...
I was
on a solo island during this, like, guys, this is fake.
My stance...
Because we knew from the beginning.
My stance was the same as it back then as it is now, is if it was found out that that was true, that Trump paid prostitutes to pee on Obama's bed, it would not, it might increase his support. This is the equivalent of indicting him. This is not like, who cares? That's not even a real crime. Right. It was Paul Manafort. And when they found a black ledger in...
You hated him, didn't you?
He was my right... I never hated him.
Okay.
I've always he was my rival. My inspiration into politics is I wanted to beat Paul Manafort in a political campaign as a Democrat.
Why is that?
Because he always wins. This guy is good. He's been good for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And that's why all of a sudden when they said he joined Trump's campaign for free. He didn't take any money. This was after he was working in Ukraine. The FBI totally fudged all the work he did in Ukraine and made it look like he was pro-Russia. He was totally set up. And they let him sit in long enough to help Trump get the victory. Mm-hmm. As soon as Trump secured enough delegates to take the convention, all of a sudden this black ledger appears in Ukraine. And Paul Manafort next to $5 million, $50 million handwritten. That was the whoa. For me as a Democrat back then, if Paul Manafort's guilty of this, we got to go back to Reagan and Nixon. Like, this guy's been in charge of all the successful Republican campaigns. You think he just became corrupt at 73? And the moment Trump gets elected, he gets thrown in solitary. He gets a gag order on him. Trump can't talk to him. And Trump didn't know him well enough that in his mind, he's getting asked to fund a Ukraine war against a Russian invasion. Little does he know that the Russians are invading because the VP, Hunter Biden, stole their oil field.
Yeah.
So they can't let that happen. That's why Hunter goes on a bender. He goes way out of his mind because his dad has no power. He has no power. His brother, the former AG of Delaware, just died of brain cancer. God bless him. But Hunter, they were irrelevant. They have no chance of affecting anything. Hunter just has to stay holed up and wait and hope that Joe doesn't come asking any questions of some Zelensky fellow.
When did you realize that Hunter Biden was all going on?
Wow, that great question, Craig. It was about this exact same time 4 years ago. The primary in the DNC in 2019, before COVID hit, you had a 6-candidate field, nobody over 20%. Joe Biden didn't get a delegate in Iowa. In New Hampshire, he left the state before the voting was done. No delegates. Nevada, he gets one. South Carolina, he wins the state. We're going into Stupid Tuesday. We recorded something. that we it got delayed it, to the internet, lost to the internet. Mm-hmm. But this was like, whoa. If you have, once you get past Super Tuesday, almost 50% of the delegates are committed. If you don't have a front runner, we have a really weird convention that these rules haven't been invoked in 40-something years. So it was like a big, exciting moment that all collapsed. And the reason it was so odd was the two front runners going into Super Tuesday were Joe and Bernie. It looked like if you were going to impeach Trump, because this was the complaint that Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie, the senators, were making, is they were conducting Trump's impeachment. This was the perfect phone call. This was Trump called Zelensky and said, what the hell is going on with this Joe Biden cat? Can you give me all files related to him? It was leaked immediately, and it was portrayed by the media as if Trump was threatening to withhold aid if he did not admit Joe was under investigation. The ultimate irony of history, the FBI was already investigating Hunter. Hunter had been under investigation since 2018. So what Trump was asking for, what the FBI could have just told him that, yeah, Hunter is under investigation. We don't quite understand this business dealings. He got 20 different shell companies. All that was going on. I'm curious to see what Trump can comment on these kind of questions. Because what would have happened is, so the man becomes president. First thing that happens is his campaign manager is arrested for Russia collusion. If you're Trump, let's be it. I'm not pro-Trump or anti-Trump. Let's just say innocent Trump. What do you didn't collude.
Yeah, and for any new listeners out there, he's wearing a Tulsi Gabbard hoodie right here. Yeah, so he's not a Trump
guy. Who, 2020, yeah. I was knocking doors in February as COVID was hitting, trying to get delegates in Pennsylvania to help Tulsi. Yeah. I'm just watching this whole campaign break down, and I can't believe that this is the way it's going. It, to me, at this time of the year, it looked like Joe Biden. I had wrote, one of our episodes is titled, Not Itu Brutus. No, the Ides of March. And that's when Caesar was assassinated by his best friend. And that's what I saw happening to Biden in 2020. Because the easiest way, we wouldn't be discussing this right now if Joe just got COVID in the first couple weeks and died. We wouldn't be discussing any of this. Hunter would have just faded off in oblivion. He'd had a fentanyl overdose. The Bidens would have just faded off into the canals of history. No. For some reason, all of a sudden, everybody who was bashing Joe got behind him on one day. California, 80% of their voters vote by mail. If you wanted to change your vote from Pete Buttigieg to Joe Biden, you'd have had to go into the polls, stood in line, and filled out a auxiliary-type ballot. No one does that. No one. Especially if, because that's where, as we're in my Tulsi, I wrote in Tulsi. I knew I couldn't win. This is symbolic. I'm going to show up to vote so I can say I vote all, in every election cycle. And I'll write in, if it's not my name, I'll write in talk. Like, I'm not scared to do that. But I would have to think a Buttigieg supporter, a Klobuchar supporter, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, even if they came the day before your primary and said vote for Joe and some unenthusiastic circle jerk, you would not vote. You wouldn't change your mail ballot. You wouldn't take it. It's like, okay, whatever. And my concern is what I think happened is the votes in California, if you voted for Buttigieg, it was flipped to Biden. Because Buttigieg said he conceded to Biden the day before the election. And I think the same with Klobuchar. And that's how we ended up with Joe being on. Bloomberg was supposed to replace him in this broker convention. So I ranted there. Do you have any questions?
No.
Did that make any sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And that's...
Are you pretty much saying like it was set up for Biden to win?
I think it was set up for the establishment to win. I think Biden was underperforming and COVID helped him in a way that I would when we're talking conspiracies, I think we need to look into his family ties, into Jim Biden's investment in infectious diseases, his investments in homeschool what's it called?
Like, it was convenient.
Remote school learning.
It was convenient excuse to go mail-in voting.
Man, did it help the Bidens and the Democrats. The mail, we talked about this before. The reason we started the podcast is until we have every...
And they need an emergency reason to do it because there's a whole process to getting it done this way, like in states. But they were able to just bypass all the laws.
Emergency. Once COVID hit, and you could say we have emergency status. Well, you can do whatever you think is necessary and proper to save the country.
Right. And yeah, like
the teachers' union and their loyalty to the Democratic Party. Jelly Beans, Dr. Jill, her being a teacher, Joe's sister.
From COVID, was the death toll compared, like, for the year, was it more than normal? I don't know what the death toll, I can't remember.
I've heard back and forth, and it's been so many different podcasts, and
I just wonder if it was something that,
I think it was the kind of thing that they didn't count flu as much. That if you just took the normal RSV,
right?
Right now we have a triple demic, flu, RSV, and COVID. And it's like, I don't know how their symptoms, they have like 7 in common, and then you go to one and it's like slightly different than the other. I've just been avoiding this science because I feel like we won. Like, our stance on COVID has been correct since day one.
Yeah. I wonder how many viruses the government is putting out there. I don't trust the government.
I'm concerned how much they're working on now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the hell else they're working
on. Well, I would just wonder if the yearly virus is they put out.
If you're subscribing to my understanding of the DNC, is Hunt, the Biden family has them by the balls. They don't want them to run. When you watch CNN, when you read Politico, you go to the New York Times, they're trying to be like, you're too old, your polls are terrible, you're not going to win. They're not dropping out. I was wrong in my prediction. I thought Joe would die by now. Mm-hmm. I thought something would happen that would take him out.
Yeah, now, you thought he'd be at least pulled or something.
Yeah, but his brain's as debilitated as ever, and half the country just doesn't seem to care to look. Like, there's 90% of Democrats that just won't watch TV when Joe Biden comes on. So they can't admit what is the reality. Like,
it is funny because they were so hard on Bush.
Just how they mock Trump's vocal slips.
Yeah.
Like, how they called him inarticulate. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, you thought he was bad? Let's listen to good old Joe for 15 minutes. You tell me what he said, because I don't know. He can't read the teleprompter anymore.
Like, yeah, I'm not a fan of, like, Trump's, what he does. But I will admit, him as president I miss that part.
I miss it. I do.
That was a lot better than what we got going on now.
I miss Kayleigh McEnany as the press secretary.
Yeah.
Like, we used to be able to ask questions. Even if she gave some sass, and she kind of shot back, it's like, okay, I get where Trump's mind state's at.
Yeah.
When Karim Jean-Pierre Bondon Vandenbaum III, she comes on, I got no idea what this woman is talking about.
And, like, everything seemed to be cooling down, like, with wars and stuff.
That's that, like, Ukraine thing I was telling you.
It is went insane since Biden. There's, like, because the U.S. doesn't have, like, no one. I guess I'm not really in favor of us being the world's police, but I guess when Trump was in there, just the thought that he would use the nuke, like, they didn't know how, if he would use, like, the nuclear weapons and stuff.
Nothing off the table.
Kind of controlled people a little bit, I think.
And
I think he's probably a way better negotiator than a politician.
The policy stance that would be is peace through strength. Mm-hmm. Is that if you show that you are capable of anything, that you don't have to do a lot of the petty stuff. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go into the Middle East and pick one of these ragtag armies to overthrow a government like Al Qaeda.
I would rather have a leader who's a little bit rougher. Anyways, why is our leaders, like, prim and proper? There's people.
I am a big fan of Teddy Roosevelt's mentality of speak quietly but carry a big stick. mm-hmm. is let people know that you have the weapons.
Yeah.
You don't need to say it all the time. Show it to them.
Yeah.
It's not so much saying it and saber rattling. It's a little bit more of just so you know, we got a pretty big attack mm-hmm. army here. This is our strongest weapon. Here's a test example of how we used it out in the desert. Like that, to me, makes more sense than what we are doing in Israel.
Well, do you think Trump had a little bit of a benefit being that a lot of the world leaders, I bet, have come to him for money, considering he has businesses in their countries?
That's where currently, if I'm taking devil's advocate for Democrats, mm-hmm. defending Hunter, let's talk about Jared Kushner, Ivanka's husband, mm-hmm. his Jewish husband. And there's multiple Middle Eastern business deals. I haven't ran down that wormhole. So I'm not going to defend him.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, at best for them, the defense of the Trumps is Trump has brand name on Realty.
Yeah.
When he says he's opening a hotel or a casino or a beach resort down in Florida, his name on it adds a certain value. And if he's selling it, like it's not just that he bought. A lot of the argument in the case against Trump's real estate issue in Florida is that he got a special discount for it being a historical site.
Yeah.
His argument that it's worth more than what he bought it for mm-hmm. is he rents it out. And he makes profit off it every year. So
you're saying it makes it valuable.
Yeah, it's a more value. So this is just a debate. Mm-hmm. And unless the bank's saying that he lied and he couldn't make the amount of payments they requested, to me, this is a non-story.
But yeah, did he miss any payments?
No, whole issue is the people that Letitia James, the AG from New York City, the mm-hmm. people going after him are trying to act on behalf of the banks that aren't requesting the help.
Which, he overinflated his numbers?
He projected how much money he could make in a year off reselling the prop. Like, part of the deal on the property was he had to keep a certain number of bathrooms. So the logic was...
Right, but I'm asking is... I'm pretty much asking, is there... So when he's talking about the value of the property, he was saying it was higher than what it was, right?
Yes. That's their argument.
He was paying more taxes.
Their argument is he should have been paying more taxes.
Well, no, he would have been because he made the value higher. You want your value to be lower to pay less taxes, right?
Mm.
Correct?
Yeah.
So he actually like paid.
You might have found a loophole there, Craig. that I've missed. This isn't real estate's not my.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking about it. your property tax and stuff. All that goes up when you inflate your property. I see the benefit of over inflating it the way, because he leverages everything. So, like, as a business strategy, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But that problem would only come from, like, a bank suing him. But, like, they can go out and do an appraisal themselves.
No, I'm thinking.
You know what I mean? That's just how I think of it.
Tie this back to, did you know the Bidens have properties in Nantucket?
Yeah.
Wilmington Beachfront.
Mm-hmm.
Rebothan, Finger Lakes up in northern New York, Water Island in the Virgin Islands.
A lot of properties.
Penn.
But what about it?
When we're thinking real estate mogul, people don't think of the Bidens as that.
No.
We have, like, but, that, I mean, that's but not, you don't just, need to go through emails to find that. That's just, like, if you actually look at it, it's they may have more property value than the Trumps.
I doubt that. Trump has stuff in all over, like, you're talking about just, he's buying residential properties.
I'm talking, I can identify five properties that the Bidens own.
Yeah, he has.
In the United States. I can do three of the Bidens, five of the Trumps. I'm sorry. No. Five of the Bidens, three of the Trumps.
Trump's got to have more property than that. He owns towers.
I'm just talking in the United States. Stuff that I don't but know like what he owns.
How many
in
buildings
England.
Does he own in Pittsburgh? Or, I mean, in New York City? He owns a few.
They took his name. When they took his name off it,
those are the ones that they're renting his name or whatever.
But he still owns it?
No, he didn't own those buildings. But he owns a decent bit of buildings.
The three
he owns way more than five, for sure.
You think?
Yeah,
Trump does.
I guess I can look it up.
Yeah, let's see if we can find that.
Alec gave a response too, but
no.
I know he owns Trump Tower outright.
He has a Vegas property, a Jersey property, and a Florida property.
And how many golf courses does he own?
All three of those have golf courses.
Yeah, there's no way Biden's level of real estate's on Trump.
I'm saying, but it's not Joe. You have to go through the family tree. You have to look at his brothers, Slippin' Jimmy and Fat Frank. Mm-hmm. You have to go into Hunter. You have to go into Bo's life or Bo's wife, ex-wife, Haley. Mm-hmm. You got to go into Hunter's kids, Naomi. You got to go into Joe Biden. This is a really extensive money laundering scheme.
He's got like 250 properties just within his own holding company.
Trump has 250.
250 entities.
Acres or
properties? Entities. Like, so just like properties, like buildings and stuff. So that'd be like Trump Tower would be one of those. But he has, like, he just buys, he's owning real estate. I mean, a lot of it's leverage, but.
When I do figure out the best way to release all this information, This is the reason.
He has like 22,000 employees. Holy shit.
I'm not pro-Trump. I'm not anti-Trump. I just don't know. And I've spent my time investigating the Biden side. There's an argument that you could make that Donald Trump is a psyop. I don't, the way that I've interpreted the story is I think he was, I'm not saying dumb. I'm saying more.
You definitely thought he was dumb.
Oh, I yes.
Do you still think he's dumb? Dumb. Sorry, I mumbled there.
Great, hold on. Ask that again. I did definitely think he was in 2016. He's stupid as hell.
You thought he was an idiot.
Yes.
You gave me his book to read.
We were at Ligonier Beach, and I'm sitting there drinking like a fucking dose of Keys.
R.I.P. Reading, Ligonier Beach.
R.I.P. Ligonier Beach. Reading Donald Trump's book with red, yellow, and blue highlighters going, this is smart. This is really dumb. This, I just don't know.
And then I read it. But it was like from the angle where you were trying to show me like how he just kind of does stupid stuff.
It's tough to read. It's a good poker player.
So currently, do you view him as smart or dumb?
I'm saying that his response to the questions that I would ask would determine what I thought.
Of what you know. But what you know about him right now.
No, there's a 50-50 chance that what I'm looking at is, I'm seeing is that he was viewing classified information that he couldn't talk about. And then he was kind of getting stuck. And now, being indicted 92 times, gag orders all over the place, I don't know how he can defend himself. And some of the things that I'm reading here, this is treason. These are not like small misdemeanor charges that I'm accusing the Biden family of.
Yeah.
So it's not small talk, and I just don't know if Trump can talk about this. And there's a way that I've interpreted the story that he was just kind of an unfortunate victim. It's not that he's dumb. It's more of a naivety. It's more of a he knew that when he took office that there were going to be people against him, but the extent to which there was an FBI, CIA, military brass.
Like his own. He didn't realize his own government.
How many Jefferson Bogart sessions?
I think he thought once the election was done that the
good faith
that like the government. Yeah, it would just be like
they let him put in his people.
He's the person. Like, give him a chance.
You won.
Yeah.
You won.
And they didn't do that.
But they won't say that.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I want to bring up in the timeline is at this point. It's not like all of a sudden Hillary Clinton says, yeah, Trump is the president. No. Yeah,
they never.
She says it was fraud, and then they opened up a fraudulent investigation funded by her campaign to make the next 2 years of Trump's life a living hell.
Right.
Domestically. Because they're accusing him of colluding with Russians. So anything Russian-related, he has to have 10 red flags come up. That's why I can't call him stupid. I don't know what I would have done. In that situation, it's like, okay, I won. They're saying I colluded with Russia and I didn't. Why would they say that? Let me talk to Putin. Oh, they're accusing me of talking to Putin for the last 2 years. I call my campaign manager, have one conversation. He doesn't know what the hell is going on. The next month, the man is incarcerated, gag ordered, put in solitary confinement. This is a 70-year-old guy that ran, played a part in Richard Nixon's campaign, helped win Ronald Reagan, played a part in the Bush's campaign, sat out of post-Bush, the McCain-Romney. He went and started working in Ukraine. But this guy, he's a campaign G. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a top quality guy that all of a sudden they're saying he's corrupt.
Same thing happened with Roger Stone. Is he still in jail?
Roger Stone's,
is he out yet?
Roger Stone's the one that recruited Paul Manafort. If you're looking at the Trump 2016 campaign as an airplane, who got them off the tarmac? Roger Stone. And he'd been for 30 years, since the 80s, mm-hmm. he's been saying Trump. Throw your name in there.
I mean, Roger was the one that was, when we were watching The Circus.
Yeah. Oh,
remember on Showtime?
Yeah.
He was the one
Netflix that was, get me Roger Stone.
Yeah, he was all over there. That's what made me like a kind of a fan of him.
He's the one, I don't know. One of the interesting things in history will be, would we have had Donald Trump without Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, Kellyanne Conway? Because all three of them handled different parts of the flight. Mm-hmm. Roger Stone was the first one to make you think.
But is he still in jail right now?
No. No, he is his own. The Stone Zone.
Arresting him was wild, too. It's just weird.
They how raided his house in the early mornings.
They put it on display how they have, that the Democrat Party is just so intertwined in our government and running it, even when they're not elected, that like the news agencies get tipped off to be there before the police even show
That's
up.
Where
like,
you have to tune in to, there was a period of time in 2016 between, I'm going to say March 2015, or I'm sorry, 2016, and then November 2016, mm-hmm. when Trump was on the rise. There was a point when the deep state, the Democrats, wanted him to win because they thought he'd be an easy victory.
Yeah,
they were like, yeah, let's put this guy up there and we're gonna crush him. Turned out, no, people like the guy.
Yeah,
they realized, so Trump wins in November. They have 3 months to reset the government, to plan backup plans. And a number of them, specifically Hunter, saw Brexit, saw MAGA, saw that movement rising, and were like, listen, if he takes charge, he's saying he's going to arrest you. And Hillary's going, he'll never arrest me. And Hunter's looking like, he'll arrest me, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a lawyer. I got no power. My dad's not a senator anymore. My brother's dead. He's not the AG of Delaware. They have no political office. Mm. So he's freaking out. That's why I sympathize with why he cracked out, because he was screwed. He was banking that this miracle investigation, that if they could just churn up this Russia talk, get enough news coverage. Oh, we got a black ledger of Paul Manafort. Paul Manafort, Greg Troutman, a Democrat, make an argument that Paul Manafort won Trump's campaign. That if Paul Manafort doesn't step in, Trump's never doesn't win the Republican nominee.
So he was just hoping that story because he knew that.
At that time, I thought Paul Manafort was the setup man. Mm-hmm. I thought he was working for the deep state, that they knew they had dirt on him. They put him in on Trump's campaign, got the win, and then knew that they could investigate him for the next 2 years. But if that was the case, they sent Paul Manafort to solitary confinement quickly. Like, this wasn't gangster prison. If you're believing that, you're believing, like, okay, if he does get arrested, it's just all wink and a nod. No, this man in his 70s was subjected to brutal penalty.
Where's he at now?
He's free.
Oh, he got
He just joined Twitter again. What? We got farther back here.
Has he talked about his...
He put out a book, Political Prisoner, Persecuted But Not Silenced. I read the book twice. Would love to interview him.
I didn't know he was out.
I'm waiting for him to do a space. No, Trump exonerated him before Christmas. Yeah. Like, that was one of the last things he did. But the issue was, if he didn't exonerate him immediately, mm-hmm. he couldn't ever talk to him. And if Paul Manafort in the first year, he was arrested for saying that he was working with Russia to sabotage Ukraine. He was doing the opposite.
Why can't the president go talk to him, though?
When you look at, that's why I said the politics of it is, it was of the,
it just looks bad.
The modern,
but he could have.
The news narrative on Fox was that Trump has Russia collusion charges. Paul Manafort was in jail for colluding with Russia, and they put a gag order on him. He could have pardoned him.
How long did he have to sit in jail for?
3 years.
Damn.
Three, and that's, they're talking a man in his 70s. This guy's an OG and should have paused. Like, this is a cool dude. That his, all of a sudden, his reputation got wrecked out of the blue. I'd like
to. And you're saying he was in like a hard prison the whole time. He never went to like one of them like prisons like tax evasion.
No. And he, even in his book, he writes about how he politicked while in prison because they kind of liked him.
What did he do?
He wasn't a rat. The whole thing with Trump is one of his main policies was awaiting prisoners to work their way to a early parole and to try and figure out a way to make prison constructive. So it's not like any prisoners had any issue with Trump. If you're talking Trump and rap, he's the most named person in industry.
Yeah, right.
So it's like when you have Paul Manafort as your cellmate and he's just like,
well, so he wasn't in solitary the whole time then?
No, not the whole time.
How long was he in solitary for?
I'd have to go back and reread it. Yeah. I think like 3 months.
It's in his book.
Yeah. This he has a whole book out, and that's why I'd like to interview him. I ask him questions on the whole book.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend everyone to read it. I have a different title, but maybe we'll put out a second book as a possibility. Because he was put in Rikers Island with El Chapo and Epstein.
Really?
At one point. So it's like, this guy was, and he did nothing wrong.
Did he say that he like saw Epstein in them?
There was only 10.
Oh, so this he is like max, was talking to
the max security. This is like, whoa.
So you have like Epstein who's
killed himself. Not while he was there.
But like they're like, they're probably talking in there, right? People got to talk to.
I don't.
How many times has Paul Manafort been on Epstein's plane?
These are the kind of questions I'd like to talk to Paul Manafort about, the specifics of his prison conversations. If he's playing chess with some like gang member from like a different person, it's like, this is Trump's campaign manager. Think how ridiculous that is. Mm-hmm. You're in prison. Okay, you get locked up. You tried to rob someone. You get framed for something. You get put in a cell. Hanging with Paul Manafort, this guy who's traveled the world, won and presidential elections in every state. It got to that. But at that point, it's solo. You don't really have roommates when you're in that.
Yeah, but he's like in the cell down.
Yeah.
You're probably talking at some point.
I have no idea.
You don't think you're going to say something to the guys in the other cells? I feel like those guys all got to get in conversation sometimes. You think they're all, I mean, some of them are probably whacked out.
It would depend how psychotic one is. Some person can drive a whole ship nuts.
Yeah.
Like if you have one of them just screaming and being crazy,
yeah.
How well could you have a coherent conversation with someone beside you?
But they also fish the lines to each other.
It just takes one. It just takes an Epstein.
To do what? I'd have been trying to talk to whoever was in there.
I guess I haven't thought much of what if I was incarcerated in that, because I'd be like I'd have to like just shut out all thoughts.
If you're incarcerated?
No, if I'm in
solitary?
If I'm in the most dangerous solitary confinement, not my hands tied, but I got a solo cell with one of the biggest drug kingpins.
Which is
one of
you the biggest sex traffickers. It's just you in there.
Yeah, but like I said, I don't want to talk to anybody. These aren't my friends.
Yeah, but you're with them. You're at the same level they are. At that point.
But no, that's Paul Manafort was not. He didn't do anything wrong.
Right. But like
at this point, you're an innocent man and you're just thrown into a situation where your best case scenario is to make friends with someone who's admitting to killing people.
Yeah, but think about sitting in a cell for 23 hours a day.
That's why I don't know at what point I would start politicking, capitulating, becoming friends with Al Chapo, swapping stories with Jeff Epstein. I just don't, I don't know that's a crazy.
I don't think it would take me long. I would start talking to people. I'd be so bored, dude.
I wouldn't let it get to, I don't, knock on wood. I never let it get to that point. They're not going to catch me and put me in that situation. That's why I'm not managing anyone's campaign. This is why.
Jail scares me.
Yeah.
Like, I would just accidentally ending up there.
I don't think we
do. Stupid happens.
I don't think we do well.
No, I would. I'd be screwed.
I don't think we do well. We'd have to join a gang.
I think what I would probably do is tell everyone that I have HIV. Right? Like, I have full-blown AIDS.
But then the ones that do have AIDS?
Dylan's calling in.
I can't rip that in. The ones that do have AIDS, wouldn't they just then rape you and then you would get AIDS? Like, I think if you came in saying, hey,
I got AIDS, don't touch me,
then someone would go, I got AIDS too. It's no big deal.
This wasn't my idea, but so I listened to this guy. He's Jumpsuit Pablo. He doesn't do the prison. I think it's him. I listen to a few prisoners. They get out of prison with these cool stories. I just listen to them all. But somebody was talking about a story where there was like a little dude went into a prison and I think like a fight broke out. Like, I think he was getting like jumped or something. And I think he might have started spitting on him and said like he had something. I can't remember.
No, people or did threatened. This with COVID. I think he might have people did this it. With COVID. And they started spitting and saying,
but it was like AIDS or something. It was something crazy. But I think it was like he was starting in the spit. I shouldn't have brought up the story. I didn't remember all the details. But it was something with AIDS.
We're a weird path right now.
But you could threaten to cut. Or I think he threatened to cut himself. If somebody was trying to like jump him. Now I'm remembering right. He had a shank. Like, he made sure he had like a way to cut himself. And he just threatened to like.
And said, I'm bleeding. I had AIDS.
Yeah. And then he said that worked for the guy that nobody fucked with him. But people kind of stay away from me probably then do a lot. But so
we're trying to avoid those situations.
Because it seems like there's a lot of time in prison where it's just kind of hanging out with a bunch of dudes.
No, you could take it as like a Malcolm X, Martin Luther King kind of mentality, and you can improve yourself. Like Michael Vick came back.
Yeah.
Like he had an NFL career, went to jail, came back.
Like while you're in jail, though.
Gucci Man, T.I.
Jail would be
Weezy.
Super, but it would be super scary in there.
And that's for us.
I don't know how I would sleep.
No, I think right now we'd have to join a gang.
I wouldn't join a gang.
You get raped.
Why would I get raped?
What do you have to offer, Craig? You go into prison and some dude doesn't speak English, could be any type, but they just...
I don't think you get raped right away.
Give me your money. You cannot get raped if you give them all your money. Remember, that's not, it's not so much like a sexual thing. It's like a dominance. It's like, how are you going to be able to fight your way off and say, listen, no, fuck you. You can't just make me bend over.
I'm pretty sure I could figure out a hustle.
That's my logic is gambling. Is you might be able to win your way.
Well, I wasn't going to try gambling. No, I would not gamble at all in prison. No way.
How are you going to hustle in gamble prison? What's your hustle?
No, a hustle is like a job. You create like a job. Like
there's no job in prison, Craig.
Yes, there are. There's tons of jobs in prison.
Yeah, you get a quarter to work the library.
No. They trade honey buns. That's your currency.
Your solution is to trade honey buns?
Oh, no. Like that's like legit the currency in prison. It's not money in prison.
The snack, but...
But there's tons of people who have different jobs. You can do things like you could... Some people, they'll pay you to do their laundry.
I guess this would be a sitcom. We go into prison. You try and work your way capitalism.
Oh, yeah. Like, I would find a way to work something.
I'm just trying to get people money from the outside to gamble.
Like people do tattoos. People do lawyer work. People. Yeah,
I wouldn't give or get a tattoo in prison.
Like, so there's one guy that I listened to. I feel like I recommend this guy. He was once the biggest jewel thief. He gets busted and shit. Goes to prison for a long time. Never snitched. So he got like the full treatment, like Con Air with a box, like the whole treatment. And he talks about when he was in prison, like some of the hustles he would do. The main one he would do is he's read up on law books. So in prison, he would help inmates fight their cases, and they would pay him for that.
That's a movie.
But you just have him
Shawshank
pay you.
Redemption.
I think he talks about that movie a lot, but that's what he did in prison. He would do like lawyer work for other prisoners.
Ideally,
and you get paid for that.
Ideally, I think everyone would agree that for prison to be successful, it has to be able to reform people. If all it is a holding cell for people that are eventually going to commit more crimes once they're released, then that's a waste of time. If we're actually supposed to...
Well, I think the idea is just like the time that you have to just spend is supposed to be the preventative measure.
You can't commit crimes.
But that doesn't work.
Because
prison doesn't suck for everyone.
No.
Some people, prison might actually be nicer than what it's like on the outside.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's kind of the problem. Yeah.
That's where I'll never be for privatization of prisons. Because there's no incentive. If you privatize, this is where me and you probably disagree. Like as you're a libertarian. Privatization, the idea is let's just let the people who can afford to house these people that society doesn't want to deal with anymore. Let's just let them do that. If you do that, the person who buys them has no incentive to reform them. I'm saying that a positive...
No, you could change. They could incentivize them by making the payment level by... Your prison makes more money when you have less inmates coming back.
So, in what hotel, service industry, any job, does less inhabitants...
Prison.
...be good for real estate? Yeah, no, they'll lose money, so they won't invest.
No, because people are still going to...
If you start knocking down what...
Well, no, you just guarantee the prison that if you... Say you can't fill... Then the price increase has to be... So, like, there has to be an incentive where... If you're not having people come back and it's then causing you to have vacant cells, your pay has to be still there as if the cells were full.
No,
because then it's more beneficial to them to have empty cells.
But that would be like a subsidization?
You just have to guarantee them a pay.
No matter
how many inmates we're putting in here, this is how much money you're going
to
make.
And if you don't make enough to make a profit, the government will just run
it the same way HUD's run. Which I think the way HUD's run is fine. Like you let... The government shouldn't be hiring employees to do things. They should be just having people do them.
I agree with that, but you do admit that that would require the government to be involved a little bit in the penitentiary system.
The government has to be because they're the ones putting the prisoners there. They have to be involved.
It's in the best interest of the whole nation.
But they have to be... But you want you don't want the government to be responsible for maintaining these buildings because look what they do with everything. So exactly. It's got to be privatized.
Exactly.
Because the only way these buildings stay standing is if they're privatized.
I didn't plan on talking about this at length, but I am proposing a quasi where there's a individual investment that is half covered. It would be called when you're gambling an insurance bet that. If this does go sour and doesn't work out, that the government will at least make sure to keep you afloat, similar to the way they treat the banks.
Yeah, I just think it should be incentivized.
That's quasi.
You should just be incentivized to not have any prisoners in your cell, in your place, and you'll still get paid. Because then you might be at half capacity.
But you want...
You're making more money.
The bad people, the looters, the rape... You want the bad people in there. You want... Like, it's not like we've got...
If you're able to reform enough people that they're not coming back, and that leads to maybe some of your cells aren't full... As long as we were gonna pay that amount anyways, right?
You shouldn't have to close your prison because
but that incentivizes them to do that because then they don't have as many bills.
Okay, that's a good policy.
Empty cells. That's what I think.
How
about we call that an episode, and then we'll do a sports one.
Yes, great.